We love to read the Bible at Trinity. I hope that during the week you also open God's Word as well. But together as God's people, we read the Bible to hear from Him. I always say that the one part of our whole service you can guarantee God speaking in is this part right here, because it's His Word and He speaks to us from it. So let's read God's Word, Colossians 1, and then Steemer will come up and unpack it for us. Starting in verse 19. For God was pleased to have His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction for the sake of His body, which is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God chose to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of His mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Michael. It's my pleasure to be here with you today for our fourth and final week of the Big Question series, looking at the question, what do you think gives life meaning and purpose? And so today, we're considering the response, I don't know. I don't know what gives life meaning and purpose. I think people have this response for a couple of reasons. One reason could be that they've never thought about the question before. Perhaps they are young. They have their whole life ahead of them, and so they've never considered what gives life meaning and purpose. Ignorance is bliss, you might say. Then on the other end of the age spectrum, some older folks, they might say, well, I don't know, because they used to have something that gave them a great deal, a great sense of meaning and purpose in their life, but those days are now in the rearview mirror. You know, the career is over, they've retired, the kids are all grown up and they've moved out of home. And so in this new phase of life, they no longer know what gives their life the same meaning and purpose that it had before. Then there are some people who have given the question a great deal of thought, and they've spent a lot of time and energy searching for something to give their life meaning and purpose. They've come up empty-handed. The needle in the haystack, it couldn't be found. And so somewhat kind of dejectedly, they say, I don't know. I don't know what gives life meaning and purpose. Well, another reason for the response of I don't know, it could be because ultimately the answer to the question is unknown. It's a puzzle, a riddle that is yet to be solved. For as much as the human race we have collectively learned throughout the years, we must admit there's still a whole lot that we don't know. For example, in the field of biology, we don't know why there are different blood types. And we don't know what the biological or social purpose of yawning is. And so, similarly, is the question of what gives life meaning and purpose a unsolved, perhaps even an unsolvable problem. And this is the premise for perhaps pop culture's most well-known answer to the question of what gives life meaning and purpose. In the book and then series Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, written by Douglas Adams, a group of hyper-intelligent beings, they build this supercomputer called Deep Thought. And they build Deep Thought in order to ask it the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. And it takes Deep Thought 7.5 million years to compute and to check the answer, and it turns out to be 42. And knowing that this answer is not genuine, people have searched for a hidden meaning. Surely there must be a hidden meaning. And so many different theories have come up as to why it was that 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. However, the author, Douglas Adams, he later explained that his choice of 42 was very simple. Adams says, it was a joke. It had to be a number, ordinary, smallish number, and I chose that one. I sat at my desk, stared into my garden, and I thought, 42 will do. Typed it out, end of story. Now, while the joke is slightly amusing, should not let it distract us from the overall seriousness of this question. You know, we've just come out of October, which is Mental Health Awareness Month, and loads of research has been done in the mental health space which shows the importance of having a sense of meaning and purpose in life. And the research, it shows us that having a sense of meaning and purpose contributes and supports overall well-being by contributing to people's understanding of their identity and their self-worth, their sense of attachment and belonging in community, and contributing to their goal setting and their pursuit of their goals. And so it's no coincidence that when people, and especially young people, say, I don't know. I don't know what gives my life meaning and purpose, then they are much more likely to experience the hardships of mental health pressures, anxiety, depression, these types of things. So today, my aim is to provide you all with an answer to the question of what gives life meaning and purpose that pushes past our blissful ignorance, an answer that demonstrates that no matter what age or stage of life you're in, the search for meaning and purpose, it's not a hopeless quest. The mystery can be solved. And perhaps most importantly, I hope that you'll see that today's answer, it's no joke. Rather, it's a firm, solid foundation which you can build your entire life upon. Given that I'm a pastor and that we're gathered here in church, unsurprisingly, I believe that this answer to our search for meaning and purpose can be found in the Bible. So where in the Bible should we begin our quest, our search for meaning and purpose? As Julie Andrews says, let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. So let's go back to basics. The Bible begins with the story of creation. As we saw when we looked at the opening book of the Bible, Genesis, the opening couple of chapters a few months ago here in church, the creation account describes how there is one God who, and that He alone is the creator of creation, and He creates all of creation in an ordered, purposeful, intentional way, and that the creation of human beings is the pinnacle which elevates creation from being good to very good. And so we can say that human beings are the pinnacle of God's very good creation, because it is humanity that is uniquely created in the image of God. And being created in the image of God, that's a complex, multifaceted idea that I'm not going to labor on today. But at least part of what it means for human beings to be divine image bearers is that we were created specifically for relationship with God and with one another. Unlike the rest of creation, human life is not an end of itself. It comes with the privilege of relating to God as his children, as those who bear his image. And so the opening couple of chapters of the Bible, they tell us what the meaning and purpose of human life is. Our meaning and purpose is to be in relationship with God. Or to put it another way, our purpose is to know God and to be known by God. Let me say that again. We find our meaning and purpose in life in knowing God and being known by God. And this relational knowledge of knowing and being known, see how it goes both ways, and see how it's different from just purely informational knowledge. Because we can know things about public figures, politicians, actors, musicians, sports players and the like. We can know their things about them from their Instagram or from Wikipedia or from anywhere else, but we don't really know them, do we? And on the flip side, they don't have a clue who we are, and in all likelihood, they have zero interest in changing that situation. But that's really different from the people in our lives, our family, our friends, the ones who truly know us, and the ones who we truly know. So our meaning and purpose in life is found in knowing God and being known by God. Sounds easy enough, right? Well, as we know, sadly, it's not that simple. And it's our fault. Being the pinnacle of God's good creation was not enough for us. Being divine image bearers was not enough for us. Rather, we wanted to elevate ourselves to God's position of deciding what was right and wrong, what was good and evil. And because of this rebellion, this attack on God's sovereignty and his authority, the relationship between God and humanity became fractured. Whereas before, the perfect creator and sinless humanity, they could co-inhabit the same space, now there had to be distance between the holy God and unholy humanity. And so as Adam and Eve were exiled from God's presence in the Garden of Eden, now there was this barrier to humanity fulfilling our purpose of knowing God and being known by him. And from that point onwards, you know, Genesis chapter 3, the arc of the biblical story is about, well, how is this problem going to be solved? How will the distance between God and humanity be overcome? How will it be closed? And how will the fractured relationship be restored? And so with these questions in our minds, let's return to today's reading from the book of Colossians. Let me read from Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, free from the accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The gospel, the Bible's good news, is that the fractured relationship between humanity and God can be reconciled through Jesus. God takes the initiative of reconciling his fractured relationship with us by becoming one of us. So in Jesus, the distance between God and humanity is overcome as the fullness of God comes to dwell in a human being among human beings. And because God is because Jesus is both fully God and fully human, he's uniquely placed to represent each to the other and to restore the broken relationship. So hear the good news. Once we were separated and distant from God because of our hostile posture and actions towards him. But now, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, our relationship with God can be reconciled if we believe this and continue firm in this faith. This is the gospel, the good news. Yet several times in the passage we read from Colossians, chapters 1 and 2, the author Paul, he refers to it also as being a mystery that was once hidden for a long period of time, but now has been revealed. I spent part of this week at the Tea Tree Gully Library, and the mystery and crime thriller section there is quite large. True crime podcasts, they're becoming increasingly popular. Maybe it's because for some people, it's appealing to our inquisitive nature, you know, to discover clues and to kind of solve a mystery. And the second installment in the Knives Out movie series is the most recent crime thriller that I've watched. If you're not familiar, it's a fairly typical murder mystery movie with the amusing caveat of having Daniel Craig, the English actor most well known for his portrayal of James Bond, the English actor who plays a detective with a French name and then who speaks with an exaggerated southern drawl. And if you can look past that kind of concoction of nationalities, you can get to the end of the movie, and like any good crime thriller, the detective explains the solve, and they go back and they show all the hidden clues that were strategically placed throughout the movie. And the light bulbs in your head, they go ping, and you understand, and you see the mystery is solved. And then if you ever go back and you rewatch a crime thriller or you reread a book for a second, third time, because you know now how it ends, you see things that you previously missed the first time. Details that were seemingly irrelevant, they suddenly stand out and grab your attention. And so for the mystery of what gives life meaning and purpose, Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the key that unlocks the problem of how our fractured relationship with God can be reconciled and restored. Jesus is the one through whom we can be adopted into God's family so that we can know God and so that we can be known by him. Jesus is the one who takes us in our quest for meaning and purpose in life from I don't know to I know. And knowing that Jesus is the solution, like re-watching a murder mystery movie, we continually come back to the Bible, to God's big story, and as we do so, we notice all the hidden treasures, all the details that we might have otherwise skipped over. And this is part of the joy of a lifetime following Jesus, continually returning to God's Word to mine all the hidden treasures of God's masterful plan to reconcile our relationship with Him through His Son. So our meaning and purpose in life, our relationship of knowing God and being known by Him, they find their firm foundation in Jesus and our response of faith in him. Where do we go from this foundation? How then do we go on living our lives day to day? Let's return to the reading. We'll pick it up from chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The image being used here is a tree. Did you pick that up? And this image works really well because the roots are the foundation of a tree. The roots are where a tree gets its nourishment from the soil and is where it collects the water. And the roots are also what provide the tree with stability when the external forces like wind and rain and hail, when they beat down and press upon the tree. And so in the same way, receiving Jesus as Lord by faith, finding the meaning and purpose of our lives through him, that becomes our foundation, our roots. Being rooted in the gospel, in the foundation of Jesus, it's what provides us with nourishment, our daily bread, as Jesus taught us to pray. And being rooted in the foundation of Jesus is also what provides us with stability when the external forces and the pressures of the world are against us. But a tree doesn't only have roots. Yes, the roots are there to provide a foundation, but the goal is for the tree to grow from this foundation. And we see in this verse that the way in which we are to continue to live our lives is to grow from our firm foundation, to be built up in Jesus, strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. Another way of saying this is that we live our lives in response to God's grace, his free gift of forgiveness and a restored relationship with him through Jesus, and we live for God's glory. In response to God's grace, for God's glory. And when we make it our goal to live in response to God's grace and for his glory, we can actually find great joy and satisfaction in a lot of the things that we've talked about during this big question series. We can find joy and satisfaction in helping others and making a positive impact on the world, doing good, combating evil. Not because that's where we find our meaning and purpose, but those are branches that grow out from the firm foundation of Jesus' goodness towards us. We do good because he has done good towards us, forgiving our sins, reconciling our relationship with God. It also means that we can have loving, meaningful relationships with our friends, with our families, with our children. Not because this is where we find our identity, but they're branches that grow out of having a secure identity as a cherished child of God. It also means that we want others to have the same firm foundation that we have, the same meaning and purpose in their lives that we have in our life. Because as I hope you can see from today, having the response of, I don't know, to the question of what gives your life meaning and purpose, that's really not a good place to be. But neither is mistakenly making one of those branches, those the things like positively impacting others or family relationships, making them our foundation, that's not a good place to find meaning and purpose without being firmly rooted in Jesus. Because those things, they won't provide you with the nourishment, they won't provide you with the stability during hardships that only Jesus can. And this is why we've had this big question preaching series. That's why we're running the life course at Sferas starting on this Tuesday. Because we want all of you and we want everyone to find meaning and purpose in life in Jesus. If what I've said today still sounds like a bit of a mystery, Or maybe if you feel like a bit of a light bulb has happened for you today, the mystery's been solved, please speak to myself or to Luke or to Crawler. And we'd love to chat to you more about finding life in Jesus. And if you're here today and your foundation, your identity are firmly and deeply rooted in Jesus, and it has been for some time, let me read Colossians 2 verses 6 and 7 to you again as a final encouragement to you. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Let me pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you desire relationship with us, that you want to know us, and that you want us to know you. We give thanks for Jesus, your Son, who came to be a human amongst us so that the fractured relationship with you might be restored, that we may truly fulfill our meaning and purpose in life. We ask for your help in building our lives upon you as our firm foundation, and we pray for all that we would find joy and meaning and satisfaction in Jesus. This is where we can't find it anywhere else, Lord. So please help us live for you day in and day out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.